I'm Lily Gladstone, and you're listening to Radio 8 Ball with Andras Jones.
Andras Jones? Cool.
Hello, I'm Andras Jones, and what you are about to experience is the latest edition of the Radio 8 Ball Show, filmed live at the 40th Annual Conference of the International Association for the Study of Dreams in Ashland, Oregon, on June 19th, 2023, with musical guest Bart Davenport. It's an event which you will see is full of joyful synchronicities, and one which has paid off in synchronicities for me personally that are both powerful and challenging. I'll discuss those at the end of this show, but for now I'd like to encourage those of you, particularly those of you experiencing the show for the first time, to write down your own question for the Pop Oracle. Doing so will increase the potency of the experience for you. And now it is with humble gratitude that I introduce the former president of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, Angel Morgan, to introduce me.
In the late 80s and 90s, when I was an undergrad in UCLA's School of Theater, Film, and Television, Andras Jones and I were in the same cookie batch of souls, young actors, artists, musicians, and kindred performers in the LA coffeehouse scene and beyond. It was there amongst our fellow cookies that I experienced Andras and his band, Mr. Jones and the Previous. Whether at a benefit to save the Mad Hatter, or a holiday warehouse party with all of our friends. In those years, he was acting in several Hollywood films, including Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. In those years, I knew Andras as a talented and entertaining performer, but I never knew until much later that we both had scholarly fathers who had taught us about dreams and dream work as children. And even later, I learned that his epic Radio 8 Ball show was inspired by that work. The truth is, I had downloaded the app so I could consult the Pop Oracle for years without knowing his father's work with dreams influenced it. When we saw each other again last year, on stage together again amongst our extended family of friends, a new phase of synchronicities began to unfold, bringing to IASD this novel, interactive keynote experience as part of IASD's 40th conference. As well as being a musician, actor, and producer, Andras Jones is also an author. His book is called Accidental Initiations, The Kabbalistic Tree of Olympia. Andras Jones is a multidisciplinary artist and talented person. But what I love most about my friend Andras is his big heart, deep intellect, and open mind, just waiting for the next synchronicity around the corner. And now, the synchronicities you've been waiting for, hosting Radio 8 Ball, the Pop Oracle, with featured musician Bart Davenport, please give a warm welcome to our second keynote of the conference, Andras Jones!
Dream, 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 when I feel blue in the night and I want you to hold me tight whenever I want you. All I gotta do is dream. I could make you mine. Taste your lips of wine anytime, night or day. The only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm dreaming my life away. Oh, I love you so that I could die. I need you so. And that is why whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream. A joyous Juneteenth to all you dreamers. I want to thank IASD for inviting me to come here and present Radio 8 Ball. I want to thank all of the individuals, many of you who I don't know and haven't met, who in some way or another helped bring this here. And especially, of course, I want to thank my friend Angel Morgan, who dragged you all kicking and screaming to this show. Yeah, maybe not kicking and screaming, just screaming. So this evening, what we are going to do is to engage the Pop Oracle. What is the Pop Oracle? I didn't discover it, because it was already there. It's like discovering America. Can't do it. Just found it. I found this thing. And it just sort of expressed itself to me. And then I named it Radio 8 Ball, the Pop Oracle. And I developed it in the show Radio 8 Ball. And in this show, in this format, it's very simple. What we do is we ask questions, we pick songs at random, and then we interpret the randomly chosen songs as the answers to the questions, like picking tarot cards or interpreting a dream. I consider synchronicity, the psychological function, which is synchronicity, to be akin to dreaming. And I also believe that playing synchronicity games, as we're going to do, is a way of drawing the wisdom of dream consciousness into our waking lives. And personally, I found that that is an extremely beneficial and sometimes challenging process. And I think that, as I'm sure many of you do around the study of dreams, that a greater understanding and a greater relationship with synchronicity is just a better thing for society at large and for the world. The fuel for this process is a curious mind expressed in the questions that we ask. And I'm sure some of you have written down questions. Some of you may still have questions to write down. Once your question is asked, and for the group, it kind of ceases to be your sole possession. At that point, it becomes kind of everyone's question, as we're invited to think, well, what if this were my question? How would this song answer that? I encourage people to listen, certainly out of compassion, have compassion for the person up here, but listen selfishly. Listen for your answers. It's not easy asking a good question. I have to ask one in a few minutes, and I still don't know exactly what it is. I've hosted a lot of Radio 8 Ball shows. Started this in 1998. I've done it on the radio and on podcasts and on live stages and on film and in private sessions and in academic settings and in conference settings. And the one thing that I have learned most acutely is that I am always totally ignorant about what a Radio 8 Ball show is about while it's happening. And this is as it should be. You can't interpret a dream while you're having it. You have to have the dream, be in the dream, let the chips fall where they may, and then afterwards you can make some sense of it with some context. And in this case, with your fellow dreamers or your fellow synchronicity surfers. My father, who Angel mentioned, was named Richard Matthew Jones, and he was a pretty prominent dream researcher, educator, and author in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Some of you may have read one or more of his books. They include, oh, I see one back there, Fantasy and Feeling in Education, The New Psychology of Dreaming, Ego Synthesis in Dreams, Experiment at Evergreen, and The Dream Poet. And The Dream Poet documents the dream seminars my father led at the Evergreen State College in the 1970s. And in these dream seminars, students would be, well, students who were enrolled in a seminar, which at Evergreen included two other professors from disparate fields, and then my father leading a weekly dream seminar in which the students who were part of the seminar would write down their dream, and then he would read the dream to the class, and everyone in the class would have an opportunity to interpret the dream as if it was their dream, or as if it was a poem from the dream poet, which is what my father called that part of our brain that gives us these perfect, amazing, personalized poems every night to decipher in the form of dreams and in the language of dreams, which he thought was very similar to the language of poetry. And in the book, The Dream Poet, he actually, it was while he was a father to two young children, and he's talking about his insecurities about being a father to me and my brother, and he dedicated the book to me and my brother. And so this book and dreams were very important to me. But along the lines of not knowing what's going on in a Radio 8 Ball show when it's happening, I want to share a synchronicity that I completely missed. So big, I missed it. So in the late 80s, I was in Los Angeles, California, being an actor, hanging out, being a cookie with Angel. And I found myself cast in Nightmare on Elm Street in a film called The Dream Master. And I didn't make anything of that. While I was in it, when it came out, here I am. It's the Dream Master and the Dream Poet. There's no other dream-themed film franchise that I'm aware of in the history of cinema, but it took me years to be like, oh, isn't that weird? Sometimes the synchronicities are so huge, we just can't see them. And no matter how much I honed my synchronicity sense over the years, I've just never gotten better at being able to do a Radio 8 Ball show and know what's going on in it. The things that I think that I prepare for that I think are so intelligent end up sounding a little stilted and pretentious. The things that I think are embarrassing and I wish never happened or are mistakes turn out to be exactly the thing that the show needed in order to say the thing that the show, that the Pop Oracle wanted to say, not what me and my ego wanted to say, because I thought, oh, Bart Davenport's here. He's gonna have this song. You can't do that. You can't orchestrate it. It's going to happen. Now, while it's true that I've hosted lots and lots of Radio 8 Ball shows, I started in 1998, about 3 years ago, I decided to put it on hiatus, and I haven't done one of these in a long while. And there are two reasons. One is because I kind of felt like we'd achieved what I wanted to achieve once we finished the Radio 8 Ball app, which Angel mentioned, and it's a way for people to engage the Pop Oracle and have their questions answered by songs which have all been recorded over the history of the show, like by my friend Bart and many others, and to be able to do so without my being involved, in part because I'm only one person and it's very hard to put on these shows, and in part because sometimes my personality might be a hurdle to their experience of it, and I wanted to get myself out of the way. The other reason is a little bit more complex. Some of you may have noticed that in the last 3 or 4 years, it's become difficult to engage a wide array of topics in a group of people who you don't know. You're probably thinking of some of them right now. And some of you are probably thinking, oh God, I hope he don't go there. Please don't go there. I'm not. And I don't intend to. I have no specific plans to go there. Of course, wherever you're thinking is not necessarily where I'm thinking, but I think we kind of get the same idea. And leaving whatever ramifications of that aside, it's kind of hard to do a synchronicity show that's all based upon asking questions and being open to the answers in an environment where people are afraid to ask, to touch a wide array of topics, which are the very topics that we're probably all the most curious about in some way, or they touch on the things we're most curious about. And so when Angel asked me to be here, I just thought, well, okay, it's synchronicity. It's the month of June. It's my father's birthday. It's on the cusp of the solstice. It's in beautiful Ashland, Oregon during the Shakespeare Festival. My father loved Shakespeare. He thought Shakespeare wrote in the language of dreams, and maybe a room full of dreamers can hang. Now, while I know the connection between my father's dream seminars and the Radio 8 Ball is part of the reason I'm here, I feel inspired to share piece of history from the other side of my family, the Jewish side of my family. My great-grandfather, Isaac Shmushkin, he was a communist lawyer, and he was part of the legal team that appealed the conviction of the Scottsboro boys in a pretty famous case in the early 1930s, in which 9 young black men in the Deep South were convicted by an all-white judge and jury of raping 2 white women and were facing the death penalty. At the time, the Communist Party was the only political party in the United States which opposed lynching. So they offered the Scottsboro boys legal counsel. As the news of the trial spread, some celebrities like Jimmy Cagney, Langston Hughes, Lead Belly, and Albert Einstein offered support to the defendants in donations and public statements. Some of these celebrities were later accused of being disloyal and un-American for doing so. Some found themselves on blacklists that others claimed didn't exist. Now, it's this history that may inspire me to defend the asking of difficult questions about topics we're not supposed to talk about, like lynching and communism and blacklists were at that time. So now, bringing it back to dreams. When I was a pretty young kid, I used to have some very intense nightmares about the big bad wolf. I would have them night after night. I saw the big bad wolf in this picture book, and it was, I think about it now and it looks delightful. But in my mind, it was terrifying. His mouth was open and had big teeth and a big lolling tongue, and I felt like there was some spittle coming out of it. It just scared me to death. And my father came to my aid with some advice. He said, you know, you don't want to dream about the big bad wolf. You know what you need to do? You need to think about the big bad wolf during the daytime. Because what dreams are, one of the things dreams are, is our mind's way of working through the thoughts that we half have, or have but don't want to have. And I'll tell you, I never had a nightmare about the big bad wolf again. I've never had recurring nightmares since. And this concept has inspired me not just in terms of my relationship to dreams, but in my relationship to life. That's what I'm trying to talk about here, is that if you don't want to talk about something really controversial, there's a good chance it's still going to sneak into our musical divinations here. And I want to be clear, I don't mean just controversial, those topics I was talking about. I mean controversial to you personally. I've had episodes where people ask a question like, la, and it comes back and they're like, you answered the real question. It happens. And it's a good thing that it happens, because this is our shared dream. And that's the real reason, that's the main thing that inspired me to come here and share this with you, is at the beginning of a dream conference with all of you dreamers who probably swim in synchronicity all the time, to plant these seeds of synchronicity through these musical divinations, this shared experience of synchronicity, whatever it is. It might be funny stuff, it might be sad stuff, it might be stuff that seems really boring in the moment, but then tomorrow someone's going to say something or something's going to happen and your mind is going to be fucking blown. So I encourage you to let this thing steep. We're going to have the dream together, engage it as fully as we can, and then let's try not to make too much meaning out of it in the moment, because we may surprise ourselves with what it means tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Bart Davenport.
Radio 8 Ball, give us a shake. We're here with the dreamers tempting fate. Wherever you are, putting questions to the songs that we will randomly select with the help of our friend Synchronicity. It's Radio 8 Ball, give us a shake. Radio 8 Ball, give us a shake. It's the Radio 8 Ball Show.
Welcome to the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer questions by picking songs at random and interpreting those randomly chosen songs as the answers to the questions. This is Bart Davenport. He is our musical guest. Very quickly, it's how this is going to work. Actually, I'm going to need you to show. Could you show Bart's song list? This is the Oracle fodder. These will be the potential answers to the questions. We are going to pick the answers by spinning this wheel. We're going to start off with my question for the Pop Oracle. And as I said, I'm not 100% sure on this one. But I'm just going to be selfish. I decided to ask a selfish question. I encourage you to do the same thing. I tend to be the most sincere. So, as Bart knows, I met Bart when I was a touring and performing a songwriter, touring all over the country. I saw him playing at a street party in Berkeley, Oakland. Berkeley. It was Berkeley.
Oakland.
Oh, it was Oakland. I always get it wrong.
That house was right on the border.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Berkland.
Berkland.
Yeah.
And Bart has continued along that path and made some really astounding records that I encourage you to check out. Around 2004, some things happened in my life, and I didn't have it in me to keep making records or keep making music. And then I tried to quit, but I couldn't. It's like trying to stop dreaming. It's just like eventually something happens, and I gotta do it. I gotta write something. And so I spent the last 8 years working on a record, and it's gonna be coming out in the fall. And this Friday, I'm gonna be playing the first show, like live show I've played since before COVID and since this thing was finished. And so I'm finding myself back in that place. And really my question is about using my music. My main goal for my music is to find my people, whoever they may be. Honestly, I hope there aren't too many of them. It could get annoying. I would just like to find my people. So I guess that's my question. Will playing music again help me to find my people? And now, to engage the Pop Oracle, I'm going to spin the Wheel of Eight.
Okay. Na, 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 Wheel of Eight.
And we are at song number 2. Sweetest Game. That sounds good.
A thousand people cheering in a stadium for men who kick the balls and score the goals. But that is not for me. The only game I want to see is love. I know it is the sweetest game. I know love is the sweetest game. I'm not the kind to be seen at the roulette wheel. But when it comes to loving, you can bet I'm for real. So when your chips are down, your luck may always turn around for love. I know it is the sweetest game. I know love is the sweetest game. Da 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 ba da 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 da. A thousand people waiting for the matador, and some of them are cheering for the bull. Ah, but when blood starts to pour, the only thing worth dying for is love. I know it is the sweetest game. I know love is the sweetest game. Da 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 da
da. Right? I was not kidding. Bart Davenport, people. Wow. Yeah. So that was the answer to my question. Will playing music help me find my people? Not too many of them. Because they may be rooting for the bull. It really captured and reflected a lot of my sort of conflicted desires and misgivings. Like, you know, I mean, I gotta say, I've always loved that line, for men who kick the balls and score the goals. Because in my experience, the guys who kicked the goals were also the guys who kicked you
in the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I write songs, which is why I'm scared of crowds. You know, it's just like a mixed bag. So, what did you think about that as the answer to the question, Bart?
I thought it was good just because, like, it's like one of my signature songs. I wrote it over 20 years ago, so it's been with me for a long time. And so I very much associate playing music professionally or as a hobby, because I do, it's of course both for me. It's something that's been with me the whole time that I've been doing that. So I would think that getting back to it and doing it is kind of the answer, right? If you're taking the example from me, and this song has gone with me throughout my career, at least as a solo artist, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a very generous and loving song. And yeah, playing music is, to me, the sweetest game.
And you've known me all this time, so there's a sort of a personalized way in which that song would be the answer. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Perfect. Well, one of the things that's going to happen for all of you, if your question is chosen, you'll find that since I asked the first question, each one of these songs is going to somehow be an answer to my question. Just how, whether or not your question is chosen, each one of these songs is going to also potentially be an answer to that question, and you can hear it that way.
What you've been listening to is a live presentation of the Radio 8 Ball Show at the 40th Annual Conference of the International Association for the Study of Dreams in Ashland, Oregon. You can view the entire show at the YouTube link in the show notes. I will be releasing the audio portion of this event as a weekly podcast for the next 8 weeks. My intention is to speak with as many of the participants who ask questions during the show as possible and include these conversations at the end of the podcast episodes, as I'm doing right now, with myself. In terms of my reflection on my reading of The Sweetest Game as the answer to my question about performing music being a potential introduction to my people, I've played more shows in the intervening year than I have since the turn of the millennium, and it's true that playing music on stages is, for me, the sweetest game. Everyone laughed at Bart's line about 1,000 people cheering in a stadium, but I really hooked on to the following line.
but that is not for me. The only game worth dying for is love. That's how I approach performance, and this purity of intention has often led to difficulties when I find myself in performance situations with audience members who only know art and music as a background thing. I've had some great shows, but I've also had some tough interactions with audience members who talked rudely through performances in small venues, and in one case in Missoula, Montana, with an audience member who found the topic of one of my songs, Dylan and Moses, to be, in their words, fucked up. If, as I claim, performing music is about love, some might ask why I don't respond more tolerantly to people who disrupt concerts in small venues by talking through them. To this, I would respond by saying that when I speak of love, I am not talking about some kind of all-encompassing, Christ-like bodhisattva love, and I don't think Bart is either. A love worth dying for is passionate, hungry, all-consuming, like the flamenco term duende. Just as love between people requires a sacred container in which to achieve the deepest levels of connection, musical love requires an environment in which the silences are allowed to exist. And sometimes, fighting for these sacred silences is a cause worth dying for, on stage at least. In fact, one of the origins of Radio 8 Ball was my desire to find a way to get people to listen to music in a more selfish way. In her introduction to me at the beginning of the event, Angel Morgan spoke about the scene of artists in Los Angeles we were both a part of back in the late 80s and early 90s. These were special times for me, and I think for Los Angeles. The scene we were a part of was extremely respectful to musicians, poets, and artists of all stripes, and I think this was because we were listening to each other hungrily, seeking connection, insight, and maybe a new friend or collaborator. Like a great college or art school experience, this environment gave me a sense of music's possibilities. And this may have led to the creation of Radio 8 Ball decades later. I find that when people are listening with the intent of finding their answer, as opposed to being motivated by a desire to support the musician, they are far more focused and less likely to engage in the sort of side chatter that interrupts the flow of music. This is rewarding for both the artist and the audience. And for the most part, I'm very happy to say, nobody ever talks through the musical portions of a Radio 8 Ball show. I wrote at length about this dynamic in a blog post on my previously yours site, and I will include the link to that in the show notes. Next week, our guest will ask the question,
how can we embrace the dark without fear? Is it not as important as the light?
And receive this answer from Bart Davenport.
When my dream is your dream and not just another notion, memorize unwritten rules of endless devotion.
Until then, I am your host, Andras Jones, wishing you lots of spine-tingling synchronicities, connections with the natural world, and all the inspiration you can handle.